not like karaoke, right? That's great music right there. Did you see how seamless I pulled off that live?
Seamless.
Finishing the conversation with Tom Riley, watching the callers coming in, being tapped on my leg that something else needs to be done. Oh, yeah.
That's why you need both of us, and that's why we need Facebook Live. Wouldn't they like to all see that air guitar? Only the people here got to see that. Yeah, Mike's really good at getting our guests to. He finds out what they like, and they do a little head nod and jig. So it'd be fun to have that on Facebook Live.
Well, let's see if we can take a call real quick, and then I've got another special guest I'd like to introduce to the listening audience. We've got a call here on concrete. And that was really the topic of what we're about ready to talk about, so it fits in perfect. Good morning.
That's Wayne.
Good morning, Rosie, and thank you for taking my call.
You bet, my friend.
I'm looking at doing a 2,400-square-foot shop, so it's going to have a regular stem wall with a concrete slab in the center. And I know that they'll use the rebarb in the stem wall, but I've had two different quotes, and one suggested that I go with the microfiber, I think it's called, versus the rebarb on the slab, and I'm just wondering what your opinion is.
And, Wayne, you're going to stand the stem walls up in a precast concrete format, and then you're going to do an interior pour inside the stem wall of the slab area. Am I picturing that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and it's 2,400 square feet, and are you going to put anything excessively heavy in there over and above a F-250 or something like that, or a motorhome?
F-350 and a fifth wheel.
I'm sorry, say that again?
F-350 and a fifth wheel.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, well, then we're still fine. I will tell you this. If I were building that, you could put the 4x4 mesh in there and lay it down flat. But the fact that it's inside a retained rebarred stem wall, it probably isn't completely necessary. I do like the fiber mesh, but I'm going to tell you a couple other secrets I really like. The concrete coming from 90% of the premix companies in town will come standard about 2,400 PSI. Now, it only takes about 2 sacks of cement per yard to drive that up to 4,000 PSI. And if when it's poured, if you'll wet it and cover it and keep it wet, that's probably going to be the highest probability of a floor you're going to be happy with. Will the 4x4 mesh help keep it together? Yeah, it will. But if it starts cracking, and most concrete will crack anyway, it has no place to go because the reinforced stem walls on the outside are holding it in and holding it together. I would like to see you score that with some nice cold joints about every 10 by 10. Square it up real good. You can always fill those later when you epoxy paint the floor after the floor has a good 6 months of curing to it. So 4,000 PSI. I do like the fiberglass mesh, and keep it wet and let it cure nice, slow, and easy. It's actually not called curing. It's called hydrating. And concrete can take up to 50 or 60 years to be fully cured and hydrated. You keep that concrete wet as you can on the surface, and that's going to be your best method and your best degree of success on a beautiful floor. All make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
4,000 PSI. That's the key secret that we have found. Sometimes when you put the fiberglass mesh in there and you walk away from the job and you've troweled it off, it looks like it has a little hair on it. Right, Chauncey?
That's right.
Chauncey, I appreciate you joining us. Architect from Tucson, you've been here all weekend, and we thought it would only be appropriate to bring you in to visit with what your impressions are of this nine-story resort tower built in the middle of the desert back in the 60s. I look at it, and I think, you know what? There are some pretty tough details to pull off in what they did here.
Well, if nobody's ever been here before, it's a concrete poured in place building, and there's many cantilevers going off north, south, and east and west of this thing. If you go look at the east-west detail of this, there's some big flying cantilevers, and they're pretty thin, and they're up 8 stories. And so the framing of this stuff was, I would have loved to seen how they frame these. And these staircases that they have are
poured in place.
They're poured in place, and they've got these beautiful curves, and they're cantilevered, and they're beautiful just to look at themselves. It is if you look at a building built in the 60s, designed in the 60s, and you come here and you look at this building, it doesn't get old to look at. It's like eye candy. There is so much going on. There's certain things you look at and you go, yeah, it was done in the 60s. But overall...
you excuse it?
Well, it just decoration. It's very, very minimal. If you look at the window details, you look at how they did the... They're mostly wood windows with glass glazed into them. There's one point at which, instead of the windows coming together in a typical minor, when they did a perpendicular connection, you will see that they tapered a little curve. I don't know if you noticed that yet, but you go in the lobby and you look towards south.
Okay.
Anyway, you'll see that they've done a little detail with the wood. Their detailing and care was done very nicely. It's a gorgeous building.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall inside the Craftsman's vehicle as they're driving out to the middle of nowhere and said, you're going to do what, where?
I think I know the reason so much labor went into this house. I remember what the union wage was back then.